continue with our study here that we've been going through on just archaeology in the Bible. Now we're looking at Babylon. Babylonian religion was mystical worship. Now, bear with me. I did have a little bit more on this, the serpent and things of that nature, but it was on my old computer. And my old computer, I don't know what happened. It won't even turn on now. It won't work. And I didn't save it on a separate file. I just saved it on the computer and I can't get to it now. So some of the stuff I was going to go through, it's gone because I added it myself to this. But I was almost done, so it's not super important. It just had to do with just rock music and its connection with the serpent and dragons and whatnot. All right, so Babylonian religion was and still is mystical worship. So what do we mean by mystical? Mysticism is the attempt to penetrate the unseen spiritual world and to experience direct communion with the divine. Now, doesn't that sound, shouldn't we all be trying to do that, right? We want direct communion with the divine, okay? But they're not talking about communion with God. They're not talking about hearing from God through His Word. They're talking about something mystical, something just experiential. That means if I experience it, how can you say it's not truth? How can you say it's not from God? So they're trying to commune with the divine, not necessarily the God of the Bible, but a spirit. And we know that that spirit, if it's not of God, it's going to be of the devil. And that's why when we've looked at these other religions in different places, in Ur and Egypt and now Babylon, they all match. They're all very identical. They might have different names, but the gods that they follow, they're all very similar because it's all following after the god of this world. Following after Satan. He's the father of lies. So if it's not truth, then it's a lie. Then Satan, being the father of lies, he's the one disseminating all this false religion. So mysticism is an attempt to penetrate the unseen spiritual world and to experience direct communion with the divine. So how do you argue with someone that says, well, you know, God, you know, I had this experience, I had a dream and God told me this, or I was there meditating and you know, I experienced, you know, God in a way you never have. Well, how do you argue with that? What do you do with that? How can you tell them, no, you didn't experience that? Okay, so you can tell them revelation is closed, but there's going to be Christians that are going to believe this stuff. There we go. That's what we got to get to. Let's look at that. Go to Ephesians 5. Yes, revelation is closed. But let's go to the revelation we do have and let's use that to tell them, to point them. Now, they might not listen to it, but it's what they need to do. So Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:10. When you get there, say amen. All right. Give me just a second here. All right. All right, Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And we're going to look at this verse here in a bit as well, but it says right there to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. So if, say, someone did have a vision or a dream or whatever they want to say, they experienced the divine, fine, okay, well, let's prove it, test it unto the Lord. Does it match the Bible? See, God's never going to tell us something. God's never going to lead any of us in a direction that is contrary to His Word. So prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's what we're to do. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Again, there it is. Test all things and hold fast to that which is good. If we would, let's go ahead and go to 1 John 4:1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. This This fits directly with this here, communing with the divine, experiencing from the divine, or I had a spirit came to me and told me this. What do you tell someone like that? Many times they're going to be lying. Many times they're not going to be. They did hear from a spirit. What spirit? Was it the Spirit of God? I can tell you right now, instantly, you can know if it was the Spirit of God or not if it lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with, you know, something the Bible says, you say, well, either they're lying or a devil told them that. Period. It doesn't matter how godly you may think they are or how much they quote the Bible and all that stuff. None of that matters. If it contradicts the Bible, they're going against the Spirit of God. It is not the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of a devil. So, 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. So don't believe every spirit that's out there. What does he say to do? But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Try them, test them, prove them. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try them. We try them based on truth. If you look through 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, truth is a theme throughout them. Standing for truth. So we are to try the spirits whether they're of God. We test them. That's what each of us needs to do. That's the stand we need to take. Let's go to another spot if we would. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. It says, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Man, God's pretty serious about speaking in his name. I guess he takes blasphemy pretty serious, because that's what that is. So you've gotten all these Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, they stand up and, thus saith the Lord, and they're supposedly interpreting tongues. That's a false prophet if it's not from God. In the Old Testament, God said they shall die. God takes false prophecy in His name very seriously. That should be a reminder for all of us that what we're saying is what God is saying. But he says, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? So how do we know if God spoke it or not? How can we know if it's truth? I mean, that's why we're looking at archaeology even. How can we know the Bible's true? Well, because what it says is what has happened. Verse 21, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Don't fear him. Don't fear him. You don't need to be afraid of him. If it doesn't come to pass, that's the test of a prophet. Go to Deuteronomy 13. It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So he gives you a sign and a wonder, and if the sign or the wonder comes to pass, so the miracle they perform, the thing that they say, if it happens, man, the devil can copy miracles. The devil has power. I mean, look at what happened in Egypt with Moses. Many of the miracles that he did, the false prophets of Egypt were able to do the same thing. It wasn't questioned that they could do it. They were able to do it. So that's very real. We all need to recognize that Satan has powers beyond what we think. And he's powerful and he can masquerade as an angel of light. He can duplicate many of the things God can do. So if that sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, verse 2, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. See, can you see this miracle? This is why we need to follow after this God. Well, oh, I prayed to, you know, the saint of whatever, to so-and-so, the saint of Lucky Charms, I don't know, and I lost my thing and I found it. So this is why we pray to this saint, because he answered my prayer. You know, I saw the Virgin Mary on a piece of toast. So because of that, we pray to the Virgin Mary. And so if that thing, maybe, you know, it is an image of the Virgin Mary. I like the one in I think it was in Chicago that this so-called, you know, this image was put on a wall coming down there in Chicago on the runoff. And it was looked like the Virgin Mary, and everyone's going there to the shrine. They're kissing it and everything and putting all these candles and everything at this shrine there in Chicago. And then lo and behold, they come to find out that it's a sewage leak. But there it was, the Virgin Mary. So we follow after that false god. We bow down to it. So even if the thing comes to pass, and they say, let us serve them. Let us serve these other gods. Verse 3, Deuteronomy 13. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Get this. This is important right here. For the Lord your God proveth you. What does that mean? He's testing you. God is testing you. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, we're not in a theocracy, so to speak, like the children of Israel were. We don't kill heretics. Jesus made that very clear in the New Testament. You leave the wheat and the tares together, I'll separate them at the end. It's not for us to persecute someone because they don't believe like we do. Now, in this time, that's exactly what God says, but it should show us how serious God is about his truth and about following him. It's not just some pretend thing. What does that look like today? Because most of us aren't going to bow down to statues and things like that. But what about when that promotion is offered to you at work and, oh man, the love of money is the root of all evil. And we want to bow down to that money. And we're going to follow that money. Maybe God's putting that there to prove you. Maybe God's putting that there as a test for you. Or that person steps into your life and now they start drawing you away from the Lord and the things of the Lord. Maybe God's proving you. Do you love me? God wants to prove whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He wants to prove if you're going to walk after the Lord your God, if you're going to fear him, if you're going to keep his commandments, if you're going to obey his voice, if you're going to serve him, if you're going to cleave unto him. God is testing you. Hey, maybe that, you know, I've seen this so many times, tear parents away from the Lord. We had this one family in church one time. It wasn't here, it was where we came from. But they were pretty much there for most everything, this family was. And then they got pregnant and had a baby. And they had that baby, and it's almost like they put that baby in a bubble. And the lady stopped going to church because of the baby. Well, the baby can't be around all these people. The baby might get sick and all this stuff. And they used that baby as an excuse to get away from God. What all that proved was that baby was their idol. That child was their idol. And God proved them through that to see if they loved the Lord their God with all their heart. Now, they'd come, you know, once a month maybe, for it didn't last long, and then they left. God will put all sorts of things in our path to prove us, to test us. It can be something we love. I mean, it can be a piano. It could be a gun. Anything. Do you love me? Will you serve me? See, are there things that are going to get in the way that are going to stop us from serving God? Look, let me just say, by the way, you being here right now is not serving God. This is not your service to God.
Amen.
This is not your service to God. You should be here because you love the Lord and you want him to feed you.
Amen.
I mean, that's what this is about. I mean, if you worked out on a farm or something, the meal time isn't you working and serving. It's to give you the strength to go out in the field and do the work.
Amen.
That's what this is for. It's to strengthen us to go do the work that the Lord's called us to. So this isn't serving God right here. You just sitting here. Now you get up and sing or something, or you're usher or whatever, any of that stuff. Yes, you're serving God. But it's not just for right here. Mostly we serve God out there.
Amen.
That's where we serve God. So don't mistake this for serving God. This is just sitting down to a meal, is what this is.
Amen.
All right, so we can be fed. That's what this is. So we're to try the spirits. God will send us false teaching, false prophets to prove us. He'll send false things into our life, false miracles, whatever it may be, to prove us. But again, getting back to this, mysticism is an attempt to penetrate the unseen spiritual world and to experience direct communion with the divine. Every aspect of ancient idolatry was mystical. Its roots go back to Genesis 3, where Satan deceived the woman to think she was missing something. It says in Genesis 3, 5, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." See, God knows that you're missing something. God is hiding something from you. God is keeping something from you. This is the lie that young people swallow hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. What am I talking about, young people? High school age to about 25. By this hook, line, and sinker. God's keeping something from me. How come I can't do that? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Well, if you had any discernment, if you knew enough to look down the road and say, let me look at people's lives who've done those types of things, and let me see where that ended. See, that's wisdom right there. That's wisdom. You're like, not me, I'm different. Take heed lest ye also fall.
Amen.
But see, what we want to do in the pride of our own hearts, and this is every one of us in here, myself included, what we want to do in the pride of our own hearts is we want to look at the exception. And say, well, they did it and they made it out okay. That's why I say, don't ever use me as an excuse for you to do wrong. Don't ever do that. Because that's just by the grace of God. But I could put it like this. I didn't know better. I had enough sense. I knew it was wrong to fornicate. But, I mean, I didn't know God or anything like that. So I just, everyone's doing this is what I'm going to do anyway. I'm not making excuses for it. But I didn't know like you know in here. I had no idea like you all know in here.
Amen.
I didn't hear it. I didn't understand why it was wrong. I was just told it was wrong. And you shouldn't do it. You should wait till marriage. So don't use what I did as an excuse. Well, pastor, it turned out okay. By the grace of God, here's why I turned out okay. Because I followed Deuteronomy 13. Amen. Because I got saved and I started following God and serving God. That's why I turned out okay.
Amen.
That's the only reason why. By the grace of God. So, Satan says to you, God's keeping something from you. Hey, if you eat from this, if you go after the forbidden thing, then... Once you go after what's forbidden, what God has commanded not to partake of, not to have anything to do with, when you go after that, then, hey, your eyes are going to be open because God's keeping something from you and you'll be as gods. That's mysticism. Mysticism is the going after what's the unknown because God's keeping something from you. This is where it started. This is the father of this. This mysticism comes from Satan. Started in the very beginning. Go after what's forbidden. And this is the hook that catches so many people. Is that God's keeping something from you. Yeah, you know what He's keeping from you? He's keeping from you, you know, an STD.
Yeah.
He's keeping from you a hangover. He's keeping from you cirrhosis of the liver.
Right.
I knew people that had shot up so much that all the veins in their arms were black because they'd collapsed. And they're shooting up in their toes. That God's keeping you from that. That's the stuff He's keeping you from. He's keeping you from a heartache of marrying the wrong person that you, oh, we're so in love right now, and it's going to ruin your life, and you're going to be fighting and battling every day of your life moving forward because you're saved and they're not.
Amen.
That's what God's keeping you from. But you're not me. It'll be different for me. No, it won't. Be not deceived. What does that even mean, be not deceived? God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Lie to yourself and go ahead. Go ahead, deceive yourself. You can tell yourself all the lies that go against everything this says. The Creator of the world gave us this book, and that's why we're looking at all this stuff so we can just help build our faith in it. The Creator of the world, the one that created you and knows everything about you, says that if you want to depart from my ways, it's going to end in disaster. So you can lie to yourself and say, he's wrong. God doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to what I have to say. Listen to the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say? See, that's where safety is found. The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. We run to the Lord as our strong tower, and that's where our safety is found. But we want to depart from what God's Word says and think we're going to be okay. Well, I know 20 people that live this way and they're fine. Hey, let me ask you, have you ever, anybody in here ever seen their parents just go out and start disciplining someone else's kid? Just some stranger's kid. Have you ever seen your parents do that? Just grab someone's kid at Walmart and just start whooping them. You know, you little brat, whap, whap, whap. Anybody ever seen their parent? Maybe there's some crazy parent out here that did that. I don't know, but I've never. My mom's never done that. She did that to me. She's like, we're going to the bathroom. I'm like, no, no, no. I mean, I fought my mom one time. I was getting older. I was about 4 or 5, and she used to take me to the ladies' bathroom. And I went to the bathroom a lot. I'm just telling you, all right? Ask my sisters. I went to the bathroom a lot. But my mom was dragging me in to the bathroom, and I was like, no, 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 no. I didn't want to go. And then she got to taking me to the ladies' bathroom, and I was like, no, I'm not going in there. And I fought her, and I fought her, and I pulled back. I got a bigger whooping because I didn't go where she was taking me, and she still whooped me in the ladies' bathroom, all right? But my mom only just took us ever. She never grabbed some stranger's kid and go whoop them. See, the kids that didn't belong to my mom and dad got a lot more leeway and got away with stuff that I didn't. So a lost person that doesn't belong to God can get away with a lot more than you that belong to God. They're not his child. You are. And because he loves you, he'll whoop you. So you think, well, they're getting away with it. Okay, go for it. You won't. This has been true in my life. When I've sinned, I am miserable. I am miserable. Miserable. I don't enjoy it. Maybe the moment, but then it's gone. And then I'm miserable. Miserable. And that's how it'll be if you're saved and you're sinning against God. You cannot find peace in that. God will not let you have peace in that. It's just like if you've ever disobeyed your parents, you've gone and done something they said you shouldn't. You may be doing it and you're kind of having a good time with your friends or whatever, but in the back of your mind, it's always there. You're like, man, I'm going to have to answer to my parents for this when I get home. I'm like, this is no good. I'm like, you're kind of enjoying it, but not really. Because you just know it's in the back of your mind. You're like, ah, oh, great. As it gets closer to time to being home, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to get it when I get home. I know it. It's just there's no joy in it. None. Amen? Anybody else? Amen. All right. Okay. I'm not the only one. Okay. Amen. Good. So God wants to warn us about the lie of the devil that, hey, there's something secret I'm keeping from you. And if you just do the forbidden thing, then you're going to know it. And this is exactly what mysticism is. It's go after the forbidden thing. And all of this fits in with witchcraft, necromancy, praying to the dead, having familiar spirits. That's what they're doing. It's all witchcraft. They're praying to familiar spirits, or the dead, whatever, however they want to term it. But that's what all of it is. They're going after some evil spirit, which is just a devil, which is going to show them something special that nobody else has. God tries to protect us from that. Now, this mysticism involved all sorts of rituals and practices, such as prayer wheels, prayer beads. Come on now. What's that? Prayer beads. What's that? Rosary. There we go. That's exactly what it is. Water rituals. You know, sprinkling water on you. Anybody ever been sneezed on by the priest? All right, lighting candles, ringing bells, ascending temple steps, and meditation. I mean, for me, my mind instantly, just because I grew up this, thinks to the Catholic Church. I hear all this and I'm like, that's the Catholic Church. All that stuff just described the Catholic Church, but it's not just the Catholic Church. Hinduism is steeped in mystical practices, including chanting. Okay, is chanting in Catholicism? Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I mean, all that stuff. Just boom, just say it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Okay. All right. But all that stuff, I'm just saying the chanting, it's there. It's Babylonian. And all that stuff is there still today. So chanting, candles, bells, prayer, beads, and particularly yoga, Hinduism. Yoga is satanic. You're praying to devils is what you're doing with yoga. Well, it's just for exercise. Well, what, there's not 1,000 other exercises you can't do?
Right.
You got to get in some, you know, prayer position, because that's what they are, to invite some devil in. You can't stretch another way.
Right.
I mean, see, this is a lack of discernment that Christians are defending this. And it's Christian yoga. Just slap Christian in front of it. It's Christian, you know, Christian drug abuse. You know, I'm just Christian shooting up heroin. He said, that's ridiculous. Well, why is that? That's sin. Well, is not praying to a devil sin as well?
Right.
Well, we don't take it as that. You know, people are saying, oh, pray for me and send good vibes. What is that? Your good vibes aren't going to do anything.
Right.
Get a hold of the creator of the universe. That's who you should be praying to get saved. Buddhism is also steeped in mysticism, including chanting, prayer wheels, circumnavigating stupas. A stupa is just a dome-shaped structure erected as a shrine, and meditation. So they do all that same stuff. I mean, Buddhism and there, that stuff looks just like what they have in Catholicism. You know, they'll put the incense in that and walk around with it. Babylonian mysticism was Christianized by the Roman Catholic Church to form a major part of its monastic spirituality. It was practiced by Catholic mystics such as Teresa of Avila and Ignatius Loyola. These people are popular within evangelical Christianity today. These names are very popular within evangelical Christianity. Today, Roman Catholic Babylonian mysticism is spreading throughout Christianity and is at the heart of the end times harlot church. It 100% is, because it's an apostasy, it's a falling away, and yet they're still trying to gather ecumenism, trying to bring everyone together. So what are they going to do? Well, the devil's involved in all that thing. That's his church, by the way. That's his church, his counterfeit. That's how he works, and he's using that to bring it all together. Why? Why is so much of it similar? Why? Because it's all got the same author, Satan. This is made possible because modern day Christianity is non-critical and we are told not to judge and to be accepting. Doctrine is something to look down upon. I mean, their statement, doctrine divides, you know, love unites. Yeah, doctrine's supposed to divide, praise God.
Amen.
That's the purpose of doctrine. Either you stand with Bible doctrine or you don't. And if you don't, it divides you. So we know, how else are you going to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them? How are you going to do that without knowing doctrine?
Right.
It's supposed to do that. That's how I mark you and avoid you, because you're teaching false doctrine, because you're a false prophet. I'm trying Deuteronomy 13. It's all throughout the whole Bible where to do these things. But modern day Christianity, Christendom, is non-critical. It just accept anything and everything that even says it's Christian. I mean, at one point, you know, 100 years ago, you had people standing against, you know, whatever Protestantism was standing against and still preaching against Roman Catholicism. But no more. They're one and the same. They went right back to their mama. That's what they did. That's what's happened. That's what you see happening. I mean, some big helpers to that. The names you might know. Who's heard of Chuck Colson? Anybody heard of Chuck Colson? He was a big helper in that. You know, he's the one that does the, what is it, gifts to prisoners. You know, because he went to prison with Watergate and all that stuff. He was part of that, got thrown in prison. But Chuck Colson is involved in all this. You know, non-critical, judge not Christianity. So you've got Chuck Colson. How about this one, James Dobson? Same thing, they're all accepting of this. They're all non-critical, judge not, don't stand on doctrine, none of that. I mean, that's where they stand. So doctrine is something to look down upon. We don't want, you know, to stand strongly on doctrine. That's why you look at so many churches and what they teach and even their doctrinal statements, they're so generic. They're so generic. That's why, again, another reason we don't hold to the five fundamentals of the faith.
Right.
We don't do that. We hold to all the counsel of God.
Amen.
All of it, not just these five that we can all agree on, and then you bring your heresies with you and it's okay, we'll just ignore that. No, we don't do that. We stand on Bible doctrine. So this mysticism has helped to bring in the end times harlot church, which is alive and well. It has been for a while. Here's a few verses. We've looked at some of these. Ephesians 5, 10, and 11. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them. God says to test what's acceptable unto the Lord. So test it, prove it. See if it lines up with the Word of God. That's what he says, check it. Paul said the same thing about those in Berea. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica because what did they do? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things that the Apostle Paul was preaching were true. That's what they were doing, and God commended them for it. He said, this is a good thing. This is what you need to do. This is discernment. You need to judge whether what this preacher is saying is truth or not truth. And you do it based on the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify means set apart. We're to be set apart by His word, which is truth. So it's the Word of God that sets us apart, that will make the divide. Okay, so we're to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then we're to have, once we've proven it, so someone teaches something, we say, that's false, that's not right. Then we say, okay, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They're unfruitful works and they're of darkness. Why? Because they're of a lie.
Right.
They're of a lie. So we're to have no fellowship with them. But it doesn't stop right there. It says, but rather reprove them. That means blame to the face. Lay the blame at it. To reprove. Now, you know, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, that's mostly accepted today. Yeah, go ahead. You can see if it's acceptable to the Lord. But here's where people start getting upset with you is once you start breaking fellowship. You say, I'm not going to be a part of that. We're going to separate from that. What, do you think you're better than us? Oh, and then it gets even worse once you start reproving them. Once you start saying, hey, these people right here are wrong. But isn't that what God says we're to do?
Amen.
But rather reprove them. This is what God says we're to do. We're to reprove them. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 and 21, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now those two verses go together. Despise not prophesyings. It's talking about preaching. Don't despise preaching. Don't despise the preaching of the Word of God. Because once you despise the preaching of the Word of God, then you're going to stop proving all things. And you won't hold fast to that which is good. Those go hand in hand. To prove all things, you have to love the Word of God. You can't despise what's being said from here. When you do, you will not prove all things because you're already, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that. Despise not prophecies, but prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. That's what we want to do. It's not that we're being mean and saying we're better than you, but we're saying, hey, you're standing somewhere that's false, you know. You're standing on that, you know, that false floor, and I don't want to stand there. That's a dangerous place. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold fast to that which is good.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to hold on to. I mean, let's say the black plague, the bubonic plagues, just started going rampant again through America. I mean, imagine if that there's just an epidemic just hit America and, you know, half the population's wiped out, a third of the population is wiped out. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get some clothes donated to us and we don't know that they're from a bunch of people that had the plague. And I mean, we start putting those clothes on, we accept them, we bring them in. And we're like, this is great, yeah. And then all of a sudden we find out that these were taken off the dead bodies of people who died from the plague. What are we going to do? Are we going to hold to that which is good? We're going to hold on to those dirty, nasty, filthy clothes, right? No, we're going to hold to that which is good. So therefore, we're going to take this off and we're going to separate ourselves from it. Because it's dangerous, because it can kill us. So we're going to separate from that which is evil, that which is dark, that which can take life. And we're going to hold to that which is good, what's clean. I mean, that just makes sense in the world we live in until you start getting into, you know, teachings like this. That's why all this nonsense that's going around, that's hate speech. Well, that's why we have the First Amendment, because you're not always going to like what I say.
Amen.
So I have the God-given right to say it. It's not that government gives us that right.
Amen.
Government recognized that right and said we should protect this right. These are natural born, just you're born with these rights. Certain inalienable rights. No one gives it to me. Government doesn't have the power to give me that. Government was just smart enough back then to recognize that, hey, every man has this right. Every woman has this right. So you have free speech. We will protect you to say what you believe, even if we disagree. That's why the First Amendment is there, because you're going to disagree with people.
Amen.
But if we can shut the Muslim up, then they can shut us up. Okay? That's just how it is. If we can stop a Muslim from building a mosque, then they can stop us from building a church house. Why can't they? See, when we start giving over these powers and we go, get them, stop them. Get those Muslims. or whoever it is. Put whatever group in there you want. It doesn't matter if it's the Jews. They did the same thing in Germany. The Jews. Hey, the gypsies. We don't like those gypsies. We think the things that happened during the Holocaust. You know it wasn't just Jews that were killed during the Holocaust? Do you know they were throwing retarded people in there too and killing them? Doing all sorts of experiments on them? And now, how many of you saw that article? Came out, I think it was in Denmark, that Denmark has just about done away with, I don't know exactly the proper terminal, Down syndrome. They've done away with Down syndrome. How many of you saw that article? And there, I think it was Newsweek or something, Time Magazine, lifting it up like it's the greatest thing ever. There's no more Down syndrome in, I think, Denmark. It was something great. Well, how'd they end it? Through abortion. Through abortion, through the murder of those children. And they're praising that like that's something good and saying, oh, remember the Holocaust, we'll never do that stuff again. Yet here, lo and behold, here we are doing it again 70 years later. We're doing the same thing.
Right.
Doing the same thing. We're still murdering them because we don't think they're good enough. So if we can't protect all life, then who's to say your life should be protected? You know, we want to give over health care to our government, and they've already taken it. And everyone jumped all over Sarah Palin. I'm not the biggest fan of Sarah Palin, but she was right. She said there's going to be death panels. Well, because that's what has to happen.
Right.
You can't throw millions of more people on health care and there's no more money coming in except what they steal from us. But you can't throw that many more people on there and not think that they're going to have to figure out some way to say who can get service and who can't. That's exactly what it's going to be. Now, they will never call it a death panel. I'm just telling you right now, okay? Maybe if we're all in prison camps or something, they're like, you're going to the death panel. I don't know. But right now, there's no way they're going to call it a death panel. They're going to say, oh, long-term loving care. I mean, they'll name it the Long-Term Loving Care Act. I mean, they'll put it something like that, the Patriot Act. Because we're patriots, as you give away your Fourth Amendment. Okay, whatever. Moving on. All right, some of y'all are, what? Okay, that's all right. Look into it yourself. All right, but I mean, that's what they're going to do. It's a death panel. They're going to have to decide, no, you're too old. We're not going to give you a heart transplant. You're 75 years old. We're not doing that. You're just going to have to die. That's what they're going to do. It's already happening, by the way.
Right.
But it's just going to be more and more. That's what they'll do. Ah, we can't do that. Your child's, Down syndrome. It's not cost-effective wise. It's not worth it. So we're just not going to do that. It should, the alarm bells should go off when our Congress, who's supposed to represent us and serve us, when they pass bills and pass laws that they're not subject to. That should tell you something right there. That should say something. I don't care if it's a Republican doing it.
Amen.
Or a Democrat doing it. It doesn't matter. So people say, you're right wing. I'm farther right wing than you think.
Amen.
All right, whatever you're thinking, I'm farther than that, okay? It's just whatever you're thinking, I'm farther than that. But then on the flip side of that, some people would say, man, some of what you're saying sounds pretty liberal. Yeah, because we've gotten away from our Constitution.
Right.
And we've gotten stuck in a right-left paradigm. Where it's either you're this or you're this. No, I don't want any of that.
Amen.
I don't need to be any of that. How about I just stand where the Word of God tells me to stand? How about we just follow the Constitution? Can we just do that? I'd be happy. Amen, that'd be good right there. But anyway, moving on. My pet peeves, you know how I am. I'm sorry. Okay, so despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Romans 16, 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned and avoid them. Now, look, this is going to be people that teach the Bible because that's who's going to affect us with false doctrine. That's who it's going to be, so we have to mark them. That's going to make you, appear unfriendly to people, make you appear mean-spirited. But do we love God? Do we love God? That's what we need to do. We need to mark them which cause division. See, it's not us causing the division. We're saying, I'm standing with God. Why are you making this division? But they're going to flip it and say, you're being divisive. No, I'm not. I'm standing where God says to stand. Why are you bringing in and causing division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned? Why are you bringing in false doctrine? Why are you trying to cause me to stand where God says I shouldn't stand? That's the danger. So it's not us. We just stand with the Word of God. But it'll be flipped the other way around. Just for instance, here's a real life example of this, okay? Now, there's been so many, I can't even bring any to mind, but maybe the Fort Hood shooting or something like that. You've got these men going and doing these shootings, and people, there's eyewitnesses to it that hear them holler out, you know, I don't know the statement, Allahu Akbar, or whatever it is, but basically praising Allah before they shoot these people. And there's eyewitnesses that hear this, the men's ideology, they stand there and say, yes, I'm a Muslim, yes, I believe this. And so we get all that, and yet the news media flips it and spins it to say it's Christians. What? How does that work? And people just buy it hook, line, and sinker because they've stopped thinking. We just do whatever the media tells us. You know, whatever the four or five major programs tell us, we just follow that and listen to that, and that's all the news that there is. There's nothing else. And we just believe what they tell us. That's the same thing that'll happen to Christians. That stand. I'm talking from other brethren, okay? Other Christians are going to flip it and say, you're the bad ones. You're the ones doing wrong. And they're going to think that they do God's service, but they're going to come after us. That's prophesied in the Bible. Jesus said that, by the way. Right. Thinking they do God's service, they're going to kill us. All right. And by the way, if they're killing us, if they're killing true Christians, they're not saved. Amen. Let me throw that out there for you too. All right. So this... mysticism is promoted by Richard Foster, Dallas Willard, Tony Campolo, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, Beth Moore, Max Lucado, Philip Yancey, Lee Strobel, David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, and many other evangelical leaders. You think, how dare you say all those names? Well, didn't we just read that's what the Bible said to do? Mark them. Well, how do you mark them? People have to know who they are, and it's that guy. It's that lady. Put a mark on them. That's what the Bible said to do. That's why we do this. This mysticism is communion with devils masquerading as God, and it leads to spiritual shipwreck. Oftentimes it results in a belief in pantheism, God is everything, and panentheism, God is in everything. You ever heard people say that? You know, well, God's, you know, I would just go out into nature and I just worship God. You know, I'm spiritual. If you ever hear someone say, well, you start talking about the Lord and they're like, well, I'm spiritual. Instantly, okay, this is New Age nonsense. They're not talking spiritual like we would. You know, a spiritual person walking with the Lord, striving to follow the Word of God. They're not talking that. I mean, they're talking New Age. We call it New Age, but it's really old. It's mysticism. That's all it is. That's what they're doing. God's in everything. God is everything. That's why, you know, I don't get these people. You know, they don't kill. You know, I'm a vegan. Well, what are you doing? You know, if God's in everything, why are you eating that plant? You know, why are you doing that? You know, how do you know it wasn't screaming and just there? Well, it's there bleeding and just the horrible, poor thing. You know, as you just ripped its leaf off. I mean, how dare you do something like that? Man, at least we kill the animal before we start chopping it up.
Right.
My goodness. And they taste good too. Amen. We're going to have some after the service just to let you know. All right. All right. He says, we've documented some of this stuff in the book Contemplative Mysticism. You can probably get it for free. All right, we're going to stop right here. We'll pick up with this next week, getting more into the archaeology aspect of this Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylon.